What up, and welcome to That Happens, the number one YouTube poop complimentary site for all your YouTube poop compliments. How are you doing, Jeff? I'm your host, Spencer, and I'm here with Jeff.
I'm doing okay, Spencer. How are you doing, my main man?
I'm doing so good, and I got a list of the top 20 YouTube poops that we can come up some sweet, sweet compliments to, and maybe some condiments. You know what I'm saying?
I have no idea what you're talking about, but I'm certainly on board for whatever you are laying down right now.
You ever watch a YouTube poop, Jeff?
A YouTube poop?
Yes.
This is where people poop on YouTube?
you would think, but no, YouTube poop is a certain kind of terrible YouTube video where they kind of use really shitty audio editing and really jarring cuts to like kind of just create a horrible experience that no one enjoys.
It does not involve actual poop.
No, it's like watch Gary Oak from Pokemon stunt on his enemies, and then it's like, hey, I'm Gary. Hey, Pokemon. And it's just like kind of nonsense, you know.
Well, I'm sold. You've certainly sold this. This sounds like a fantastic premise, and right up my alley.
Yeah, I know how much you love YouTubes and the minutiae of kind of like alt YouTube. And you know you love alt-right YouTube, baby. What are you sipping on?
I had a little Fernet Branca, as is my wont, and I'm having a light and crisp Kolsch style ale called KSA, Fort Point Beer Company.
Wow.
I go up to the Silver Lake Wine Company. It's a little liquor store up the road, and they don't just give you a six pack of the beer that you want. If you tell them what kind of beer that you want, and they give you a little poo-poo platter in the style of beers that you want. So they've just been hitting me to some to some various light lagers and crisp kind of summertime Kolsch-y goodness.
Depending on context, that could be really passive-aggressive. It's like, oh, I'll take a Heineken, and it's like, here's six things that aren't a Heineken. And it's like, okay, weird.
Yeah, but they're all cute hipsters that work there, so there's usually some kind of cute gal of you know, vague sexual identity, and you know, maybe some pigtails, and definitely some distressed blue jeans, and I have a hard time saying no to them because I trust their taste implicitly.
I'm sure they got good taste.
Speaking of taste, Spencer, I've tweeted it out today, and I've got some important That Happens news. Should we put this in part of our news segment, or should we?
Well, maybe we have a separate segment. That's okay. Like,
well, I'll put this in a different segment called "What's Happening," and on That's Happening. So, as longtime listeners, because this is our 78th episode, I believe. Right. As longtime listeners of the pod will know, Spencer has fallen in love and forced me to be involved with Mountain Dew, Major Melon, and. Ooh, I'm going to take a sip of this raw, Spencer. I'm going to raw dog it for a moment here.
And I'll do it too.
Do you have your Major Melon? Kevin, have you got yours up?
Yeah, Kevin, do you go?
Kevin Day, our producer with the most.
Yes, I do.
Have we all cracked open a fresh Mountain Dew Major Melon? Okay, let's take a sip of this and let's weigh in. Oh, God. It's extraordinarily sweet.
Oh, God. That's extraordinarily sweet.
Yes, I have type 7 diabetes now, just from that one taste. It's very sweet. Yeah. If anybody thinks that we're doing this for promotional value and we're getting kickbacks from the good people at Mountain Dew, the answer is no.
Although I would love it. We should reach out.
Yes, you would, because you live on the fucking razor's edge of diabetes and just like liver failure, whatever you get when you drink this stuff.
I don't
totally understand the artwork. There is a melon who is wearing, as we discussed before, a World War II-esque military helmet.
Yeah, but we didn't really... You didn't talk about, like, the angry melon plant that has, like, a spiked teeth and, like, this wacky tongue on the other side?
Yeah, there's... it looks like Audrey 2 from Little Shop of Horrors. It's kind of a Venus triflaps... triflap? Fly trap. Or triflap. Try the flaps. Yeah. Stay for the fly trap, but stay for the fly trap or tri flap. Yeah, I the artwork is confusing. It's nasty. So I enlisted the help of a bartender cocktail friend of mine to come up with a cocktail, and he suggested that we do it with a little Wild Turkey 101, because you want strong booze to knock down the sweetness of it.
Sure.
I have here, which is roughly 4 or so ounces of lemon juice, fresh lemon, which will, the citrus will also cut down on the sweetness. And then, of course, from the good people of Angostura House, Angostura Bitters, and put a little float on top of that to make it pretty and give it a little extra kind of a flavor profile. Kevin, so we've already talked before.
What's the deal with bitters? Because, like, isn't alcohol already pretty bitter?
I don't really know. I'm not surely certain what the history of bitters is. I think what it is probably going back to the days of bathtub gin and prohibition, where you wanted something to kind of make things not taste awful. I don't know. Angostura, probably the most famous of the bitters houses. But
so for people trying at home, what are the ratios? What are the proportions that you're going for here?
Let me pull it up. What did Van tell me? He said 0.5 ounce fresh lemon. That's a lot of lemon. 2 ounces Wild Turkey 101. You want the strong stuff. That's the 101 proof. 3 ounces Major Melon. I think I put a little bit more Major Melon in because that's a lot of citrus, so a little more sweetness. And then maybe about 5 dashes of Angostura on top as a float to make it look pretty for the presentation. And then a lemon wedge garnish on the side. And then when you pop your swizzle in there, you get the bitters mixed up in it. Have you tried it yet, Kevin? Or Kevin's just fucked off?
Well, Kevin's here. He just has gained the ability to become invisible. And it looks like he's shutting that off now.
Grab my tweezer.
Okay. So wow. I don't have my measuring jiggers out. So I'm just going to eyeball it. I'm just going to go freestyle. Oh.
He's free pouring, folks.
That's
just took a shot.
That's good. No, I got the plastic on here. So here we go.
I'm just eyeballing this too. I'm doing lemon juice here.
Good booze.
Oh no.
Okay, so let's just do a little.
And I don't have all this accoutrement, but I do have Earthshine from Harmontown.
You actually have some of Jane's Earthshine still?
Yeah, we know this says 2014. So do you remember 2014 when we got Earthshine?
Was I in town?
I still have mine.
Okay, there's a bit of lemon. We're going to freestyle this, everybody. And I hope that if you've been alerted at home and that you are making this along with us. And if you're not, have a beverage of your choosing, because I do believe that podcasting is better with compotation. Look it up. Okay, so now we have lemon and whiskey in here. And now I'm going to go about nuclear sunset pink on that. Then, because it's a fizzy drink, you don't want to shake this, everybody, because you'll shake it too much and the fizzy will go crazy. Let the ice go into the glass, and that'll be the stir. The ice plopping into your beverage will be the stir on it. Give it a little...
Oh, I messed up. I already had the ice in there.
That's okay. There's no wrong answers here, Kevin.
Here, throw it out. We could start over.
And also, if we all agree on Reddit or wherever you people talk shit, that this is terrible, we'll go back to the drawing room. So now I'm going to go bing, 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 bing. Now I'm going to give it a fucking good, healthy...
Bitter it up.
Several splashes of that.
I did like 8 to do 10 drops.
Yeah. I think that seems about right. And then... I've got my straw.
I don't have a straw. I've got a knife.
It looks like a tiki cocktail already. I'm very happy about that.
Kevin's turning.
I don't have a straw, so I'm using a knife here. All right, all good.
I thought you broke out the Hitachi wand for that, and I was going to say, wow.
Wow.
The ladies know what I'm talking about. Okay, so here we are. Let's see what we got here. Gentlemen, don't drink with the straw. Use it to stir. You don't drink with it. It's a little too sour. I'm going to go back. I never thought I'd say this, Spencer. I'm throwing some more fucking Major Melon in that.
I feel the same way. I think it needs a little more.
That's the good stuff. And I have had a pull off of my Earthshine. Does alcohol go bad?
Okay, there
we
are.
It tastes normal.
I've got it.
Okay, describe the flavor to us.
It's almost kind of like it's a tiki drink almost, because basically the Major Melon is pretty much just watermelon flavored punch. And so it's almost like a tiki drink. It's somewhere kind of like a zombie or a maybe a Mai Tai without the rum. But I got to tell you, I'm not mad at this one bit.
Well, I guess we're just discovering that I'm a genius and that everything I like is objectively good. So that's good to know.
I don't even think that needed proving, but it's certainly nice to have it reaffirmed. I've named this drink, because it's Wild Turkey and there's a turkey involved, and it's Mountain Dew, I've called it the Waddle I Do. Like a turkey waddle. It's called the Waddle I Do. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to drink more of this Waddle I Do.
Should I have another? Man, this, the you know, Earthshine is very strong, and haven't drank in a while.
See what happens, Spencer. While we're experimenting with compotations and cocktailier, why don't you throw a little Earthshine into some of your, why don't you marry the Earthshine with the Major Melon? I guarantee you that's where it's at. Because Mountain Dew, by its very name, means moonshine. It's a term for moonshine. And you have Earthshine, which is moonshine, from our good friend Jane. Also, Spencer, I've never seen you just drink hard booze before. I didn't really think of you as a hard drinking dude.
I don't drink much at all. And I'm sure over the course of this next hour or so, we're going to find out why. Let's just say that it's a good thing we're socially distanced and not in the same place, or I would start punching people out.
Totally. I'm going to throw a little bit more turkey in here.
Hell yeah.
A little extra 101 proof bourbon whiskey should help this get on its feet.
All right. Okay. I think I'm going to die. I think this is going to kill me.
Oh, that's it. Kevin, go a little spirit forward. Put a little more booze in there.
That's a good idea.
Okay. You're not going to regret it, Kevin.
See, I'm not a drinker, so this is going to be a fun next few hours for me.
Yeah, I'm also not a drinker.
Kevin, you survived COVID just barely. There's no way that this drink is going to put you over the edge. You're a rough and ready motherfucker.
This is probably more alcohol than I've had in the last 6 months combined in this glass right
now. Okay, also, yours is enormous. Is it a pint glass?
It's a tall Collins glass, yeah.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah, okay.
I was going to water it down a lot, but let's see. Okay, I've added some more. Get the knife.
That's
scary.
It's like a kitchen knife. Yeah.
No,
I had handy.
Yeah, it's what Michael Myers kills you with if you're Jamie Lee Curtis.
I don't like whiskey, and I wasn't a huge fan of the Major Melon. Together, they are better. I'll give you credit for that. It's somehow better than the sum of its parts.
If you want to thank anybody or complain, you can go to on Instagram. It's my friend at Vantron, VANTRON, and he is the creator of the Waddle I Do. So it's on him now.
And that's a hell of a name, Vantron. Like, I can't believe that wasn't taken.
Yeah, it's and he's quite tall. He's a large gentleman. I'll post a photo of him making the drink at another decommissioned bar where we really weren't supposed to be in there, and he was quite thrilled that I brought in some fucking Major Melon. I'll tell you what, there's no way I'm drinking Major Melon on its own. This stuff is just absolutely just, oy, saccharine.
It's good. The people love it. The people love Mountain Dew Major Melon. This is just some liberal West Coast liberal bubble shit to not like Major Melon. You know, the working men, that's what they need to get through their shifts, you know? I don't know. Is this good podcasting? I mean, not to shit on everything. I'm glad if you had to guess.
This is terrible. three white guys making a drink? That's not a good podcast. Anybody that's still listening is a bad person as well. So, yeah. We'd like to thank the few remaining listeners for sticking around. Because really, this is not great podcasting in any way. Speaking of that, I read an article today, Spencer, about something like 49% in a poll of Republican men will not get the vaccination. Sure. That's nearly half of the voting men that identify as Republicans, and they're not going to do it.
How does that make you feel?
It makes me feel like I need another little sip of my Waddle I Do.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, they should the way they're doing like the eligibility tiers to see who gets the vaccine, mm-hmm. like they really should take into account the fact that so many people are like, no, I'm not taking it. You know, like we probably could be at least two or three tiers past where we are now. If you account for the fact that, you know, maybe 50%+ of 65+-year-old people are just not going to take it because they're conservatives.
Yes. If every asshole uncle in America doesn't want the vaccines, let's give it to the people that could use it.
Great.
I know, the whole thing. I do comedy shows and we travel around a bunch and we play theaters all over the country, parts of the South and, you know, rural parts of the country. And if they don't get their act together and just play ball and get the whole country healthy, then I, as an improviser, can't go back to work. So I take it personally. I'm not saying that I deserve a parade for my struggles, but I'm just saying every time I hear that people won't do the right thing and are just going to continue to be willful assholes, it just... What we're really depriving the world of more than anything, Spencer, is my delicious brand of improvised dick joke. And I think that's one of the great healers. And until that happens, we're all going to suffer.
That happens, a podcast. If you had a parade thanking you for doing the right thing, what would you want in such a parade?
A parade for me?
Yeah, for you doing the right thing. Because you said you didn't want a parade, but if it happened, if it came together.
I'd want a giant float where I'm sitting atop Colin Mochrie's bald head and just licking it. Because I think I've licked Colin Mochrie's head more than I've licked most of the women I've dated. And wow. I'm not saying that as a like, I'm not, you know.
And you eat a ton of pussy.
Oh, dude, I'm eating taco with both hands, Spencer.
So that's really saying something.
Yes.
I'm picturing you naked on this float. Is that what you're picturing?
I thought you meant just in general.
That too, but...
I'm not picturing you naked. I'm picturing you in some sort of exotic, like, kind of, not thong, but something like kind of like kind of somewhere between thong and lifeguard speedo kind of thing. Like somewhere right in the middle distance between those two.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm picturing.
I love that.
I'm drunk. Kevin, I'm picturing drunk, absolutely guys. Nude and just oiled up like a Virginia ham.
You ever get oiled up, Thank Kevin?
You. Not for a while, but yeah, thank you.
Squeeze into some tight spaces, maybe?
Yeah.
Kevin, I should know the answer to this, and if it's too personal, then tell me to fuck off. But what's your marital/dating status right now? You live with your gal, right?
Yes, yes.
Yes, and how long y'all been together?
About a year now.
A year.
Nice.
Yeah. And she never got COVID. You got it, but she was alive? She got it too,
but recovered way quicker than I did.
Damn. It was an inside job.
Yes. We both teasingly blamed each other for it. Yeah.
Fantastic. I was having lunch with my brother today, and I was telling him what we've talked about before, where I think Laura, my ex, had it when we were in Rome together, and I think I probably was exposed to it. I also think I gave it to my brother, his wife, and my niece. And they were sick for a few days, but never got full on, like, let's go to the hospital, COVID. But I think that...
Probably because they got it from you.
And then I heard from a doctor. I went to my dentist, and she was saying that apparently in Rome, because Rome was a huge hotspot, that there was some international convention, and there was loads of people from all over the world, including China. Ugh. And that there's a theory going around. I don't know if this is true. You can go on my QAnon website to find out more on this. That maybe a bunch of people were exposed to a Chinese virus and then all went home, and that was one of the first kicking off points of this thing. Again, not based in any facts. Don't listen to a thing I say. Ooh, booze.
Are either of you guys, well, I guess Kevin, you were saying that you already got it, so you don't necessarily need the vaccine anytime soon. But Jeff, are you planning on skipping the line and trying to get the vaccine early?
I've signed up for things where, like they say, if you want to, if we have throwaways,
right,
and you are available and you can be here in 15 minutes, come do it. I don't expect that to happen because I don't lie about my health and my occupation. I don't qualify for any priority, you know, first in line status. So I'm totally comfortable waiting my turn. But I'm also totally comfortable if they say, hey, can you be here in 20 minutes and get it? I'll totally do it.
Yeah, I tried to join a vaccine hunters group, but it seems like the vaccine hunters are just about going into marginalized communities and stealing their vaccines. So it doesn't seem like it's on the up and up. It seems like they're like, we don't want to break the rules. We just want to obey the rules that let us rob blindly marginalized communities. So,
well, I've just gotten involved with a very far right organization called Vaccine Hunters, where we go out with our AR-15s and we actually kill the vaccine. If we see vaccines, we shoot it. We're literal vaccine hunters.
Big game vaccine hunters. Yeah,
it's the deadliest prey.
right above
because it, if you kill the vaccine, a lot of people die. So it's literally the deadliest prey.
Damn, the vaccine's gonna go extinct.
What fucking stupid shit, fucking old white dudes that have guns and think that it's so cool to hate wearing a mask and it's so awesome to not want a vaccine. Like, they're like is that really how, what your definition of being a macho man is? What a bunch of jackasses. I'm sure I'm going to get killed by one of you for saying this, because, you know, Spencer, I did some analytics on our listeners, and we have a huge Q following.
Right, of course. Yeah, everybody. Sorry, guys. These days.
Yeah, and by guys, I mean mostly guys. There's a couple ladies out there, but you know who I'm talking to.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't buy it. I've been in a bad mood about it.
You're already fucked up. It's already happened.
Oh, no, I was fucked up like 5 minutes ago. Oh, I remember what I was going to say is that, you know, if you're one of these people who can't handle a mask and like you don't want to be like forced to wear a mask, that makes you a snowflake. Like, you're not more special than the rest of the world. And if you think you're somehow special enough not to wear a mask, that's a snowflake. Yeah. You need a safe space where no one's going to force you to wear a mask, you know?
Yeah.
But they're not consistent, obviously.
Who is more snowflakey than people that feel bullied by every fucking thing that happens to them? That the world is out to get them. Right. It's like everybody, the Mexicans are gonna steal my job that I would never do anyway because I don't work in that industry. I'm not gonna go out and fucking clean strawberries. The idea that anybody's trying to fuck you over, steal your girlfriend, enlarge your misshapen tiny corkscrew penis.
The Mexicans are trying to enlarge my penis. They're coming across the border and enlarging my penis.
Actually, I misspoke. It's mostly the Salvadorans who are doing that. The Mexicans are involved in much more complicated stuff. The Salvadorans, there's a huge epidemic of them trying to enlarge white Republican male penises just so everybody can calm the fuck down. But, you know.
But they think they're so special. That's the thing. You must think you're so special for you to be mm-hmm. being victimized in all these different dimensions by all these different groups, be it Dr. Seuss or, you know, trans people trying to play sports or whatever, you know? Like, it's you're not that special. Nobody cares about you.
But also just the idea that anything that remotely sounds scientific has to be evil. Like it has to be a lie. Hey, just because you don't know what words mean, doesn't mean that things aren't true. As a friend of mine who grew up in rural Texas, in Anna, Texas, the middle of fucking nowhere, he said people in his hometown weren't smart and wouldn't be. It was a willful right. ignorance because it was a badge of fucking honor. It was a feather mm-hmm. in your dumb gimme hat, your MAGA hat. That books are obviously for perverts and, you know, and pedophiles and things.
Pornographers.
I don't know. Why am I so angry? I got to say.
It's this Major Melon.
Whiskey and Major Melon's making me fucking feisty, everybody. Fuck it. I'll see you in the parking lot.
I might like Trump supporters a bit more if they had feathers in their MAGA caps. Like, just like these big kind of like pimp hat feathers, you know? That could be pretty or classy.
If you really think that you're a patriot, fucking break it. Break out the tricorn. Give me an old school Paul Revere tricorn with a giant ostrich feather in it. Then we're fucking talking patriotism.
Such obvious lapses of of branding.
So just fuck patriotism. It's so stupid. I mean, I know that Dan and I and you have ranted about this 1,000 times, but just what a dumb hill to fucking die on. Like, flag waving. Stupid.
You know what I love? Land. I love this specific one piece of land, and that other land that's basically the same fucking sucks. Mm-hmm. It could get the hell out. It's like, this land.
You mean that land that's a little bit east or west or north or south of you? Yeah, fuck that land.
No, this one's good because I am here currently.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I have every right to be patriotic. Grapes. I have every right to feel patriotic because I do live in a great country, and I also live in California, and I live, even more importantly, in Southern California, which is bloody paradise. It's fantastic. Right. There's burritos and tacos and sexy people, and it's laid back. You can go ski, you can go surf, you can do what you want. You can go do drugs out in the desert and pretend you're Graham Parsons and do heroin and die of an overdose with a prostitute. You can do whatever you like. It's a land of promise, and yet I don't think that I'm better than people that live in San Francisco. That's stupid.
So true, bestie.
I know.
However, I will say I'm better than people who live in San Francisco. They could get fucked. I guess that's my patriotism.
Okay. All right. Line's drawn. See, you see what happens? Fuck you San give Francisco. Fucking Spencer. You give Spencer some sugar, some caffeine, and some Wild Turkey 101. He's going to come at you, San Francisco. If I could and go poof and be somewhere.
It would be.
If I would, in a properly functioning world, I would be sitting at Vesuvio next to City Lights Books on Columbus in North Beach, San Francisco, and be drinking and reading until Golden Boy Pizza opened up. And I would go over there and have some of their fantastic focaccia bread pizza, and then just continue the drinking and reading for the rest of the day and pretend that I knew Ferlinghetti, which I didn't do. But you can't go anywhere. I again hate patriotism. It's stupid. And when the things all open back up, and we can go travel again, like I miss travel so much. Like I'll go to places I don't like. I'll go to fucking San Antonio. Yeah, you heard me, San Antonio.
Slam.
Fucking dumb. No, San Antonio's okay. It's not the worst. Dallas may fuck right off.
Yeah, Fort Dallas, Worth. Fuck that.
Well, there's that one cool area with the arts. There's an arts district kind of thing that's kind of fun, but otherwise, no.
All right. And there was quit undercutting yourself. She's not all that. I saw her. Just now, if I could snap my fingers. Oh, no.
The girl I'm thinking of, Spencer, is someone that you've met. You know her from South by Southwest, and we hung out at the Yellow Jacket Social Club in Austin,
right,
Texas.
Right, yeah. I won't dox her, but I think I know who you're thinking of. If I could snap my fingers, I would be driving. I'd just be out driving right now. That would be so good.
But you do that anyway, don't you? I thought you went on little voluntary vehicular excursions just to be driving.
Yeah, but not drunk.
Oh, right. Oh, you're too fucked up is what you're saying.
I'm saying like that could be a lot more fun when you're drunk, you know?
Spencer, because maybe this podcast got off on a very, I would say, not the best podcast footing of just people pouring cocktails. And I don't know that that was the best way to start a show. Mm-hmm. I think, and again, you have every right to say no because you have agency. Okay. And I don't want to bully you. Okay. I say you dig in real hard on that Earthshine and get as drunk as you're comfortable with. And then we play some D&D. But I want to see some fucking renegade, you know, 0.08 alcohol, blood alcohol level, Spencer Crittenden dungeon mastering.
I think I'm already on the edge. I could take another, like, shot or so. I feel like I took about a shot of the moonshine. Right. I could do, like, another one of those, but I don't know if I could do more than that. But
I'll do
it. Do
you think there's a blood alcohol level that you should not be allowed to, like, just as a... I don't know if there is a Dungeon Master Guild, but do you think there is a blood alcohol level that you really, it's irresponsible to have to
really
be DMing when you...
I think any substantial amount of alcohol is pretty bad for DMing. I think, like, you can probably stand to be relatively high, but I think alcohol really fucks up DMing. It fucks up, I don't know, I've played in a lot of D&D groups where people would smoke or drink or both, and then it was always when the alcohol started getting busted out that it really started being a mess, and it was always a bummer to play when players were drunk or when DMs were drunk, you know?
Yeah, I mean, like, when we were doing Harmontown, Dan and I would usually be pre-gaming at the drawing room drinking,
right,
and then have one or two in the green room at Meltdown. and then also be drinking during the show. But at some point, I stopped drinking, or I mean, I stopped being drunk during the show because it was irresponsible of us to make you have to repeat and completely remind us what we had done a week ago, because I had no recollection of what was going on. And, yeah. Oh, you just chased it with the fucking Major Melon.
So if you saw at the beginning of the show, this is like, it's gone down close to an inch, maybe 3/4 of an inch. So I feel like that's a lot, man.
That might be more high octane than the Turkey 101 here.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big guy, but I'm also a lightweight.
Okay. Kevin, how real time would a response be from if I asked a question to you looking at people's responses on the forum?
It's about a minute.
Okay. Oh, Kevin, ask the question in the Discord. Like, type it into the Discord. It'll get a faster response.
Here's my question. What I have is Fernet Branca in one of Jane's glasses, and I have Major Melon. What I'm wondering is, should I shoot a shot of Fernet Branca and chase it with Major Melon, or should I roll the bones and see what happens if you mix them together, and what does Major Melon and Fernet Branca taste like? I'm pretty sure.
I don't like that.
I actually have both
sounds horrible.
Right here, too.
Okay, well, so how about this, Kevin?
We can do this together.
Well, okay, you pick. Do you want to do a half and half mix, or do you want to do the shot and then chase? And
I'll do the mix. You do the chaser.
I like the sound of that.
I can't handle Fernet full strength, I don't think.
Oy.
Okay, oh, so okay. What have we done? What are we doing?
What have we done? Oh, boy.
I don't know. I'm going to be so bad for Kelly's show later. All right.
That's fine.
Right. We have another show after this. God damn it. Even worse, I'm supposed to go over to Robbie Falk's house and have pizza. He and Donna are making pizza. And I have been spending all day trying to learn a song. Normally, I'm a quick learner on songs. I've been trying to learn and play on guitar Kiss from a Rose by Seal.
Wow.
You know, did you know the booby do the flappy flap? I fucking can't. It's just a song. It will not stick. Ba-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-da-da-da.
Baby, I wanna kiss my rose. I wanna feel to feel, now that your rose is in bloom, the light is the moon on a grave. Sorry, okay. I thought that would be good for the show.
Can I invite you over for the pizza party so you can fucking just fill in for me? Because you certainly know the melody better than I do. I think you and I have the same sort of grasp on the lyrics. A river's here, a flower's here. All right. Kevin, you've done a halfsy, a half Fernet, half Major Melon shot.
It smells terrible, looks like terrible, blood. To be honest with you.
It looks fucking nasty. Go lay it on us. We want a full book report. Okay, he's taking the whole thing as a one.
Oh. That is... It's got the fruity Jolly Rancher flavor of the Major Melon.
Is he enjoying it?
With that, like, Pine Sol flavor of Fernet. I don't know. Wow.
But you're
good or bad?
It's not bad.
You're smiling.
Oh, my God.
It's not bad.
Jeff, you have to try it.
I'm going to drink it again.
Okay, well, I'm going to try it the other way. I'm going to go shot of Fernet, chaser of the Major Melon.
Ugh. That drink that Kevin was holding up looks as bad as I feel.
That works. I can recommend that. That ain't bad at all.
Oh, man.
I'm not Major a big Melon. Fan of high fructose corn syrup drinks, so I will never buy more of this because I think it'll kill you. But if you really do want to wash out the sadness of a shot of Fernet, you could do worse than Major Melon. Not bad at all.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy. We're all going to get drunk. I love it.
I might go blind.
I've had in a year, easily.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, I can already tell. You're like, Kevin's a little turnt right now.
He's freaking a little slappy.
It's a little slappy. When I was a senior in high school, my friend Jim Barcher was the ASB president, student body president of our school, Lucerna High School in Whittier, California. And where Tom Waits went to school, as I found out later on. And we would find all sorts of reasons to be able to bail off campus and not get caught, because he was the president and I was just a, you know, a burglar. And we would go to his parents' house, who I think his dad was a dentist and his mom was a pharmacist, or vice versa. They were on the wealthy side of town. I was on the poor, below the track side of town. But we would go to Jim's house, like at fourth period, when we could sneak out of like acting, not only now, you know, theater class or whatever, and because nobody cared. And we would drink Jim Beam straight and chase it with passion fruit and orange Tropicana Twister juice. Fantastic. That reminds me of high school. Fernet chased by Major Melon reminds me of being, oh, that's really strong booze, and then that's overly sweet, and it kind of softens the deal.
Just another one of the great victories that Major Melon has brought into our lives. It's just truly a blessing, I would say. A blessing brought to us by the good company Mountain Dew.
Major Melon just stormed the beaches of my taste buds and liberated my sobriety. I don't know. We'll work on that.
It's V-Day, and the victory is for flavor.
Okay, speaking of victory, last time we played D&D, Spencer, I believe I pretty successfully kicked the shit out of 30 mini little monster people. No?
Sure.
Siri, go away.
Fuck out of here.
Siri thought I was talking to her. Siri, fuck off. So the guy's name was Chest Compression.
Chester Compression.
Chester Compression.
Good name. Great job, Spencer.
And if I recall, he ripped open his chest and screeched, and 30 mini versions of him came out, and I started kicking a bunch of ass, and then he fell off, or did he dive off or fall off back over the cliff into the ocean or the sea?
The big copper blasted a coin at him and it knocked him off.
Right. Big copper. I think because we have to do Callie's show not too long from now, why don't we just dive in, Spencer, now that you're good and lubricated on our good friends Wild Turkey and Major Melon and the Waddle-A-Doo. Are you down to play a little D&D? I want you just to fucking be renegade. I don't even care, Spencer, if you just get angry drunk and kill my character off in a rage.
All right. Well, should we do the music, the recap music then?
Kevin, you got that?
Yep.
Kevin, you okay? Oh, there.
Last time on That Happens. Have you ever realized that happens is TH and Harmontown is HT and it's like backwards? It's just kind of interesting. Our hero was on the road to the ghost house, the spooky, spooktacular haunted house at the behest of Hush Money. They were headed there. He was headed there to collect taxes, back taxes from the ghosts who dwelled within. But he wasn't going it alone. He had his compatriot, a random stranger at the bar by the name of the Big Copper, helping him. The road was long and full of perils, and one of those perils was a man by the name of Chester Compression. He was acting like somewhat of a crazy person, a crazy man standing too close to a pile of dog shit, and he was looking to eat the meat off of the back of Fuzzy Knuckles de Quevedo. And so then he attacked by ripping himself open and launching several tiny versions of himself, and the swarm overtook our heroes and combat ensued, slicing, dicing, and a third thing, all until they won. And then after having won, they were like, oh man, we took some damage and also we're level one, so this is a very dangerous position to be in. Now.
Okay, so now, well done, Spencer. So we.
Thank you.
I know that I took minus four damage. Did our rest heal me up, or am I back to full strength or no?
We haven't actually done that, so we're gonna. Do you have your dice? We're gonna roll now. So your hit dice is D8. So you can roll one D8, and you'll gain that plus your Constitution score. And I got your character sheet right here. What's your Constitution?
Okay, where's my D8?
It's three.
I'm looking for my D8. I see a D8.
The D8 looks like two pyramids stuck together.
There we go. Okay, so I roll a D8.
Yep, roll it up.
Oh, fuck. One.
Okay, but you get to add your constitution bonus, which is 3, so you get plus 4, which, if I recall, is how much damage you took. So you should be back to full.
I'm back to full strength, motherfucker!
So you and the big copper spend about 1 hour... Just standing in the spot where you once were, just willing your wounds to close.
So we're just hanging out in a series of bushes where there's a bunch of potentially lethal dog shit that turns people crazy.
Yeah, the big copper's like, "Hey, baby, what do you do for fun?"
I like to sing a sea shanty. I like the ladies.
Hell yeah. I don't copulate or fornicate or replicate.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're mostly machine. I don't know if that's an insensitive thing to say to you. I don't want to, you know, diminish.
Don't worry, baby. You know what I like. And that's being referred to as a machine.
Oh, fantastic. Do you like... You don't have any impulses to, like, ever fiddle around with other machines or, you know, people of other races or classes? Or, like, there's no sexual drive at all in your machinery?
No, but I am a bit of a tinkerer, and I've thought about tinkering with my own brain, see if I can install some horniness.
Well, we got an hour to kill before we heal. Let's try it out.
He grabs you by the shoulders and he says, "Don't make light of my life's work. This is going to take a long time."
Okay, sorry. I'm very sorry about that. But look.
Sorry, I'm a bit drunk.
Look, it's okay. We had a lot of beer back at O'Houlihan's pub. And salt beer?
Salt beer, baby. Salt Weird beer. To think beer affects me.
Yeah, I mean, if beer can affect you, how much of a machine are you actually? I mean...
These are the questions I stay up awake at night because I do not sleep pondering.
I pull out a little bindle of cocaine that I have in my satchel and I offer it to Big Copper just to see if it has any effect on him. I'm just trying to learn what the rules are with a Big Copper.
He dips his pinky in it and tastes it and is like, "I don't have taste buds." And then he's like, "Oh wait, I don't have a nose." Oh. So there you go.
Yeah, but that was I said to Big Copper. I said, "That's kind of weird, though, that you knew that the way to do it was to dip your pinky in it, like you were a Miami Vice style cop. like you seem like that wasn't the first time you've been exposed to this."
I'm a student of the world, baby.
Okay. You know what, Big Copper, the more I hang out with you, I've only known you for maybe 30 minutes.
Yeah, about thereabouts.
Give or take. I'll tell you what. I like your style. I like the cut of your jib. And that's a sailing reference because I love the sails. I love nautical references. What do you say me and you kind of keep trucking? I know maybe a little walk and some fresh air will get us to the haunted house. And maybe we'll be a little less drunk when we get there.
That sounds good to me, baby. So you head on down towards the house, a nice leisurely stroll, so you can continue to will your wounds closed, and you eventually get to the house. The decrepit house sits on the highest ground in the area. Around it, a stone wall has crumbled in many places, exposing the interior grounds. An ornate metal gate lies open at the end of the road, swaying slightly in the wind. Wild flora grows throughout the inner yard, but all the years cannot hide the evidence of a well-tended garden that once sat here. Near the house, the rotted wooden roof of a water well rises out of the tall grass. So, you know, kind of wild, unkempt grass, crumbling wall, big house. Seems like there's a garden, there's a well.
I walk through the gate.
You do that. You're inside the gate. You can see the garden is off to the kind of to the side. Like I said, there's the well. There's a bunch of overgrown grass. The big copper's like, "I would estimate that house is about 30 feet tall, maybe 35. I don't know if that does anything for you.
I mean, that's good to know. Are you pretty gifted when it comes to estimating heights of houses?
No, not at all. That could be way off.
Okay, all right. All right, we both had a few. Okay, well, I go look at this well. This well seems kind of fascinating to me. I go peer into the well.
Callie just came and is invading the podcast, which is honestly very disrespectful.
Because I want you to tune into my show.
I think they know they're gonna do this show. I would never enter Callie's room without permission, although I'm a male, so like there's different connotations there, I suppose.
Kevin told me.
Yeah. Kevin, you son of a bitch.
Are you actually what? What did I do?
She said that you told him to enter my room. Her. She's a girl. Callie's a girl.
I claim innocence there completely.
Okay.
Oh.
So I go up to the well, Spencer.
I would never do that to her. And I have grounds to. I've been wronged. Yeah. I'm the wronged part. All right. Let's see the well. It's about 6 feet tall. No, that's the wall. Okay. Roll a perception check.
What do I add to it?
Kevin, did you tell her to come into my room?
I did not, no. I absolutely
so she's
not.
A liar on top of all these other sins.
Eight, Spencer. What?
Eight. Okay, so it just you can see a bunch of tall grass. It looks some of it looks a bit bent. You can see that the well shaft descends 20 feet. You can see some sparkling like it's water down at the bottom there. Of course it is. It's a well. Yeah, but you can't really see very much because it's so dark.
I yell hello down into the well.
It echoes back up at you. There's no one in the well, which makes sense because this house has been abandoned long ago.
Okay. I look at Big Copper. I go, this looks like just a regular old well. I don't know why I was freaking out about it. I just, you know, you never know with these haunted houses.
Yeah, it might be full of ghosts.
Exactly. Exactly. Speaking of full of ghosts, let's walk towards that house.
All right, baby. You walk to it. There's a door. The door is closed. Mm-hmm. It still seems in pretty good condition. It's like scratched and worn, but it still functions.
I knock on the door.
Knock, knock. You hear nothing.
I try the handle and see if I can open it.
Oh, yeah. It's not locked, baby. You open the door. The front door opens onto a musty, dirty entrance hall. To your left, a corridor leads into the west wing of the house. The walls are bare and bits of smashed furniture lie upon the floor. Ahead of you, another corridor leads towards the rear of the house. A staircase on the eastern wall climbs to the next story, reaching it at a balcony that overlooks the entrance hall along its north and west sides. The stairs appear safe to climb, though the balcony rail is broken in several places. Underneath the stairs at the north end of the hall, a third corridor goes east. So, yeah, there's kind of an entry area with stairs that go up, and you see like an obvious exit to the east, to the west, and to the north. The east exit goes under the stairs and under the balcony.
I go up the stairs.
Ooh, baby. You're up the stairs.
I feel like if ghosts, you know, kind of known for being scary... If they're going to really be scary, they're going to be up the stairs. I'll be just be fucking around in the kitchen and the maid's quarters downstairs when they like the real ghost action is going to be up top.
Yeah, that's true. Okay.
Spencer, as a sailor, when you want to find out which way the wind's blowing, you know what the weather is, you want to get up as high in the rigging as you can. You want to get up to the top. That's usually where you know. So I get up there. Oh, and I forgot. Or I just remembered. I have an inspiration point from last time that I'm keeping in my pocket.
Yeah, that's good.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, no, I remember. I did it. I'm the one who did it. You go up the stairs. You can see there's some kind of broken patches in the on the railing and the floor. kind of when you go up the stairs, the wall direct, there's a wall just directly ahead of you, and the kind of balcony goes to the left, and then to the right there's like three doors on the right, so like it's a hallway that opens into three doors, and then that's to the right. To the left is the balcony. You can see it kind of goes in a fork, where you could go ahead or you could go right. So if you turn left, you can go right or straight, and if you turn right, you can go to three rooms on the right.
I go to the right, and I listen at the first door.
Listening at the first door, you hear what you can hear. You don't hear anything.
I try the door and see if I can open it.
Oh, it's open, baby. This bedroom has no furniture, but it does have rubbish everywhere, and there's webs on the wall and the ceiling. From the doorway, you can see a glint of light in the fireplace. Ooh, it's glinting.
I go investigate that glinting light. That seems weird in an abandoned room for there to be anything glinting at all.
Oh, it's weird. Also, the Big Bopper is there. I mean, the Big Comper, different person.
Big Bopper died in a plane crash.
Big Copper is doomed to die in an airship crash in the future.
Oh, dear. Spoilers.
Yeah, but don't worry. I mean, I don't know why we wouldn't worry, but... Okay, well, so worry.
I'm certainly not going to get in an airship with a Big Copper at any point.
Yeah, that's probably good. It's a good thing your name's not like Huddy Bolly. That's like a D&D version of Buddy Holly.
Or Vichy Rollins.
Or Vichy France.
True.
Or Fritchy Vance. I don't know. Okay, so what happens is out of the web skitter a mass of spiders. Oh, boy, these spiders. Fuck. You're not loving it. It's gross. They're going to attack you, so I guess we're rolling initiative.
Are these just regular spiders, or are they like monstrous spiders?
They're regular-sized spiders, but the monstrous aspect is in their swarming. They're a monstrous-sized swarm.
Okay.
It's not just like, you know, smash a couple spiders. This is fucked up. It's like, oh, gotcha. Holy shit.
And they're attacking?
Yep. That's why we're rolling initiative.
13.
All right. You go first.
Well, first I jump out of the way with my cat-like reflexes, and I say to Big Copper, do you have any more of that poison left on you? And, like, poison these motherfuckers.
Okay, baby. Are you going to attack or just let me do it?
I'm going to pass my initiative off onto you, and I'm using my turn to kind of jump out of the way and, you know, in that move, I'm basically passing off my initiative, but I do take out my my rapier in case I need to start smashing and, you know, kicking butt.
You can hold your action until after he goes if you want, but yeah, okay.
Okay. So, well, yeah, I mean, was I in danger of being attacked in that thing, or can I use my feline agility to move and run out of the way and not take any damage?
You can run away, but we're okay. So this is metagaming, but we're in combat now, so the monster's gonna try and kill you, you know. Gotcha. Unless you do something about it, like you can run out of the house.
I'm not running out of the house. I'm gonna stay there. Okay, fuck it. Are these spiders on the ground, or are they, where are they?
They're on the ground and walls. Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm not a diminutive figure. I just start stomping. I just start like just running around like just stomping Spencer versus Coyote style. Just start kicking ass.
Oh man, roll an attack with advantage, which means you get to roll twice and pick the highest.
I rolled three twice. God
damn it. Is that including? It's still not enough though. I think you had four or five, but it's not enough.
No, I rolled two pieces of garbage.
Oh man, these spiders are nimble and spidery, and they're dodging your well placed stomps. It's crazy to behold. Oh, so then Big Copper's gonna leap into action. He sprays right at your feet with this poison, and ooh, baby, it hits. they get gassed. That's maybe not a cool thing to say. It does 11 poison damage to the swarm. You just see about half of the swarm die off.
Fantastic.
Now it's their turn. They're going to attack you. What's your armor class?
15.
All right. They're biting at your clothes, but your clothes are not your flesh, and it does nothing. Thank it's God your turn that. Again. Yeah.
Okay. Look, I'm freaked out. I tried to stomp them. They dashed out of the way, and I really, like, I don't think that I have the weaponry to really... Like, a rapier is not the right weapon for a spider swarm.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. I mean, technically, yeah, no, that's just true. That's true.
Okay, I, shit. I know it sounds dumb. I'm going to go for the stomp attack. I'm going to start stomping because I feel that might be the most effective way to use my move is just to stomp these motherfuckers.
Yeah, so roll another advantage attack.
And what do I add to this?
I think 5, but just give me the regular number and I'll find out what to add.
17.
Oh, add 6. Yeah, so that'll hit for sure.
Yes, it fucking does.
All right, and then roll
2d4. 2d4. Where's my d4?
And then I'm going to cut it in half because they have damage resistance to bludgeoning.
4.
4. That's for 2d4. Okay, so it does 2 damage. Again, these guys are nimble. You're taking out spiders. You're stomping spiders, but this is a swarm, Jeff. Or half of a swarm at this point.
I don't expect to kill every spider every time, Spencer. I think that would be, you know... That would be overambitious.
It would be honestly audacious and ostentatious and arrogant. Oh, baby. The big copper. I'm drunk. Shut up. Everybody shut up. You know what? Everybody who's watching this, get the fuck out of here. We're going to finish this out without an audience.
I'm going to call the big coppers and have them sent over to your place and have you arrested.
All right. He sprays more poison, but this does markedly less. Damage. So then the spiders are going to go again. They're going to bite at you and they miss again. They're going to bite at the big copper and they miss again. So now it's your turn again.
So basically we're all doing a bad job. How many spiders do you, and because Callie's show starts soon, we're going to have to end this pretty soon. But I want to finish off these motherfucking spiders.
Yeah. I think we could probably finish them.
So how many spiders and what, like, what proximity are they? Like, are they all together? Are they on me? Are they near me? Like, where are they?
Some of them are on you. Some of them are on the floor. The vast majority of them are kind of on the walls and the webs.
I take an oil flask out.
There you go.
Throw it at the wall and then take my tinderbox out and light the oil on fire where the most collection of spiders are chilling out. Or doing whatever spiders do.
Okay, roll 2d6.
Where is my 6? That's a total of 7.
All right. Oh, boy. They burn up. The webs catch fire. The webs burn up. They catch fire very fast. It's the kind of fire that catches so fast it puts itself out at, like, you know, like if, when your hair burns, you know, but it's just burning up these spiders. And the swarm has been dispatched. And the big copper gives you a thumbs up and he says, "Hello there, baby."
Cliffhanger! We did it. Okay, so we beat up a bunch of spiders. That was exciting. Spencer's drunk. I'm pretty loose. Kevin is just absolutely pissed as a polywog right now. He's almost finished his drink.
This is as drunk as I've been in ages. Yes.
Hell yeah. All right. So I'm gonna pull an audible here and say, don't stay tuned for Callie's show. Don't watch it.
Yes.
Do something else. Watch Harmon Quest.
I guess we're going to see you in a second. Spencer, sorry, Kevin, are we signing off and opening up a new thing for the Cali show?
Yeah,
yes, we are. We got half an hour. So coming up next on Schraub TV, if you're watching this live, is the Best of Channel 101. That's going to be for about half an hour. And then shortly after that, we're going to start the Cali Kazoo show where both of you are her guests.
Yeah, Cali's going to be on at about 4:30. Or maybe I won't. Maybe I'll just leave. Maybe I'll go driving.
Don't do that. Hey, everybody, thank you so much for coming to That Happens. I can say one thing for certain. Something happens. And you know what it was, Spencer?
that?
It was. All right. We'll see you soon. And also, we'll catch you on That Happens Pod and Instagrams and Twitters and all that shit. Bye-bye.
Go with God.